Genesis chapter 24 is the story of the servant of Abraham going out to find a wife for Abraham's son. The timing of the story is likely about 20 years, give or take, after chapter number 22 that we looked at last week, which was the story of Abraham offering up Isaac, and of course that didn't happen. It's not exactly, we don't know exactly the dates of these stories necessarily. Some of them we do, some of them we don't. It's believed that Isaac was probably in his teens to 20, early 20s, when the Genesis chapter 22 took place. Sometimes we picture it being smaller than that or younger than that, but that is pretty much when that takes place. The Bible talks a lot about the leading of God. You know, we need to recognize at the outset of the message this morning that there is not a person that God does not want to lead. God wants to lead everybody. God wants to lead people. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 4, "Knowest thou not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You know, people who are lost without Christ, it's God's desire to lead them to a place of salvation, to lead them to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And people say, well, why doesn't God just judge people? Why doesn't God just send judgment? Well, because in his goodness, he's trying to lead people to repentance. And that's what God is doing. Of course, we know that Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." He wanted to lead them. He wanted to draw them to himself. And so the Bible talks about God drawing us with that everlasting love that he has. Christian, God has a plan for your life. And he wants to lead you in that plan. He wants to take you along the journey. He doesn't just send you and say, go do something. He wants to bring you along on your journey. He wants to lead you in your life. But you know, sometimes as we think about leading and God's leading in our life, our minds automatically go to the spiritual things. Oh, God wants to lead the missionary as to where to serve as a missionary. God wants to lead the pastor to where to preach from in the Bible. God wants to lead the Sunday school teacher in the lesson to teach. And he does, of course. He does all those things. He desires to do that. But we also realize that God's leading impacts material things. What we might say is the regular, mundane, ordinary things of life. God wants to be active in those too. He wants to lead us in those things where you live. The car you drive, the clothes you buy, the stores you shop in. You say, really, why would God care about those things? Well, I tell you why he cares, because he says we're salt and light in this earth, and he places us in people's paths, and so he leads us. He leads us through people's lives and into people's lives. And if you look back in your life, you will see the leading of God in many of those mundane, ordinary things and how God weaves those things together in our lives. And so the Bible tells us that God desires to lead us. God cares about those ordinary, everyday things of life. And Jesus said, don't worry about all the things of this world, what you eat, what you drink, what you be clothed with, because all those things the Gentiles seek after. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So all those things, God will lead you in those things. Don't focus on them, but God will lead you into those things and in those things in your life. If we're honest, we recognize the fact that we need help in many decisions in life. We need leading. We can't make all the right decisions ourselves because we are faulted. We see things with a jaded view sometimes, and we make bad decisions. And we need somebody that's bigger than us, somebody greater than us, one who knows all things to lead us in the areas of our life where we need to be led. In our text, the story is about, as we said, Abraham's servant looking for a wife for Abraham's son. You realize it wasn't the one to be married that was looking for the wife. It was the father's servant. Wow, that's quite a responsibility. How would you like to be given that job? That's what this man was given. He was given the responsibility to find a wife for his master's son. What a great thing. But if there was ever an important area in life to know God's direction, of course it is in choosing a life partner. But even with God's choice, marriage still takes work, doesn't it? It still takes the leading of God in everyday things. We say, well, God showed me who he wanted to marry, and I married that person, so now we're all set. No, that's just the beginning, isn't it? God wants to continue to lead in that relationship and guide in that relationship. And what a great thing it is that he does. So don't quit asking direction from God once the ceremony is over. So whether the decisions you're making in life are spiritual, quote unquote, or material, big or small, I believe this passage of Scripture will help us and give us insight in how we can be led by God. We're not going to read the entire chapter all at once this morning. It's a very lengthy chapter, but we will begin by reading the first part of the chapter, and then we'll talk about that for a while, and then we'll move on from there. So Genesis chapter 24, it says in verse 1, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord, the God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor." Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we are thankful for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for a practical message that helps us to understand your leading in every area of our life. Lord, help us to take these principles, we pray, and see where they fit in our life and apply them to our life. And Lord, that we would see your hand at work in our life, leading in the big things and in the small things. Lord, because we recognize that we are needy people, and we need your wisdom, we need your direction in the decisions that we make. And so we pray that you'd help us to realize how we can know your wisdom in these things. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, in these principles of God's leadership, that we need to have a commitment to do the will of God. We read the first 10 verses this morning. In those first 9 verses in particular, we see this commitment to do the will of God. If you desire to be led by God, you must be committed to following that way. There's no sense asking God for direction if you're not committed to doing what he shows you what to do. We see here Abraham's concern in verses 1 to 6. Abraham was about 140 years old. Now, that's old. That's older than any of us here, I guarantee that. He wanted a wife for his son Isaac, who was about 40 years old. So if you're not married yet and you're under 40, don't feel bad. Isaac was 40 before he got his wife, and he didn't even get to choose her himself. His dad's servant went and found it. Wow, that's quite a story in itself, isn't it? But here we see the situation, and Abraham was concerned about Isaac finding a wife. Not just any wife, but a particular wife. You realize this morning that Abraham's concern was also God's plan. Abraham's concern was God's plan. Remember that it said in Genesis chapter 21, verse 12, that God said to Abraham, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." It was Isaac who was the promised one. It was through Isaac that the promised seed would come. It was through Isaac that God would bless the world as a descendant of Abraham. And so realize that in thinking about that, God's plan to introduce children into the world is within the bonds of marriage, which God established marriage, and that's his means of bringing children into the world. So when Abraham was looking for a wife for Isaac, that was exactly what God had planned for Isaac, because he was to have children who God would bless, who would then, of course, multiply and become as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky. And so we see here this situation is not just Abraham's desire, it's God's desire. And so when we look at this point and think about the fact that it's doing God's will, that is exactly what was taking place here. And Abraham's concern was also God's plan and God's will. Abraham did not want Isaac to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. He said, "Don't take my wife as a wife to my son of the people of Canaan in this land we dwell in. They are not God's people. And they are not the ones, they are not following God, they are not living for God. And therefore, do not take a wife to my son of these people. Because that would not be right. It would be an unequal yoke." And the Bible tells us in the New Testament as well that to be not unequally yoked together, and it was many times reinforced in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites, don't marry the heathen nations around about because there'll be a snare to you and they will bring you down. And so, young people, I remind you this morning the importance when you look for a partner in life, make sure they know the Lord. Isaac was not also to leave the place where he was. Isaac was not to be taken back. I mean, that would be the thing, wouldn't it? We'd say, well, you know, if I'm going to find a wife for Isaac, I need to bring him along to see if he approves. But no, Abraham said to his servant, I do not want you to take my son back. See, why? Is that a big deal? He could have gone and come back. Yes, he could have, but would he have? Or would he have been tempted to stay back where God didn't want them to be? Because God had called them out of that place to come to the land of Canaan, to a place that he would show them, to give them that land. Abraham did not want Isaac to be tempted to stay back in the place that God had called them out from. And so Abraham's concern was that Isaac have a wife from his people who loved God and served God, but a wife who would come and be with Isaac in the land that God had called them to be. Isaac would have missed out on God's blessing had he gone back and stayed back in the place that Abraham had come out from. So with these things in mind, Abraham commissioned his servant to go and bring a wife for Isaac. And so we see not only Abraham's concern, but Abraham's confidence. Now put yourself in that servant situation. You're given the job to go find a wife for your master's son, and you say, okay, but what if this doesn't work out? I don't know how this is going to be. I mean, I've got to go find somebody, and then maybe she won't come back, and then what do I do? You've got to give me some parameters here, Abraham. What am I supposed to do? And he realized that this shows that he was committed to do what Abraham wanted. He didn't just say, okay, I'll go, I'll give it a try, and say, oh, well, I guess if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. No, he wanted to know exactly what Abraham wanted. He was committed to doing the will of Abraham. He was committed to doing what Abraham wanted him to do. And Abraham was confident that God would lead his servant to get a wife for Isaac. How was he so confident? Because he said, the God who called me out and has done everything that he has said he would do for me, I have no problem believing that he's going to give the wife for Isaac. I have no problem with that. He was so confident in that situation that he said, listen, if that doesn't work, You're clear of this oath. Don't even worry about it anymore. But I know God's going to do it. Isn't that great confidence to think about that? How he was so confident that God would do that, what he said? There was no doubt in his mind. And so this servant went out with that. And the Bible says he confirmed the oath by putting his hand under the thigh. It's an unusual situation mentioned only one other time, and that's in Genesis also, in Genesis 47, verse 29, where Jacob made Joseph a promise. But we see this is a situation here. It's unusual, and we say, what does it mean? What is it all about? Well, we really don't know because it's only used twice. It's believed to be just a commitment to do what was desired to do. There's things that people have conjectured that it would be, but it's thought to represent basically submission to do what was asked to be done. A commitment to do what was asked to be done. And so the Bible says that the servant was committed to doing that. It seemed silly. It seemed impossible. It seemed, how could it possibly be? We recognize this morning that if God leads you in something, you can commit yourself to doing it because God is able to make it happen. The Bible tells us that it is God that worketh in you, who also to both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Bible also says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And once you've seen God at work in your life, you can be just as confident as Abraham that he will do exactly what he said he would do. You know, it doesn't do you much good to know what God wants if you're not committed to doing it. Why would you care what God wants if you don't really think you're going to do that? You know, many times we pray and we say, God, I want you to show me what you want me to do. But sometimes I think our prayers are something like this. God, show me what you want, and if I like it, I'll do it. That's really not much, is it? That wasn't Abraham's servant's motive. He said, I will do what my master has asked me to do. The plan of God for you is not likely to be finding a wife for someone else's son. Whew. Relief there, right? But God does have a plan for you. And God will lead you in that plan, but you need to be committed to doing what God has called you and leads you to do. And so there was a commitment to do that, but there's also a commitment to obey God's word. And you say, well, isn't that the same thing? Well, no, I think there's a difference. There's a commitment to do what God wants you to do, but there's going to be leading along the way. What are you going to do with those individual circumstances, individual situations? See, in addition to being committed to doing God's will, that which he shows you, you must be committed to obey him to do that which he has already shown you in his word. You can't expect God to lead you in the specifics of life if you're not following him in the generalities of life. If you're not following God and his word, then why would God show you what his great plan is for your life? Because you're not doing what you already know you need to do. And so we realize that there's a difference here, and there's a need to obey God's word. This servant was not just committed to doing what Abraham asked, he was committed to doing it the way Abraham asked him to do it. To following every step and everything that he was given to do. I'm sure that that's why Abraham chose that servant, because he knew from past history that servant could be trusted to obey. That servant could be trusted to do things the way he was asked to do it. He was trustworthy and obedient. You know, the servant didn't make excuses or try to come up with a better plan. He didn't say, okay, well, whatever. I'll speak your peace, Abraham. When I'm gone, I'll just go do what I want to do and I'll figure it out. No, he's committed to doing the things that he was asked and told to do. He was obedient. He made a promise. By putting his hand under Abraham's thigh, he made that promise to go and get a wife for Isaac, not in Canaan, but in Mesopotamia, where Abraham had come from. That's where he was to go. He was to go back and get a wife from that place. He didn't try to cut corners and do things his own way. He didn't say, okay, Abraham, that's great. And then, hey, come on, guys, I've got a job here for you. I don't really feel like a long journey, so I want someone else to go do this for me. That's what you got to do. No, he was committed. He obeyed and he fulfilled what was asked of him to do. You know, when God shows his will for our lives, he also shows us how to accomplish it. When God leads us in his will, he does so in accordance with his word. Some people, it amazes me how some people say, oh, God just led me in this. You say, okay, well, let's just talk about this for a minute. And you stop and you look at what they're doing and you say, well, but the Bible says you shouldn't do that. Oh, but I just feel this, the leading of God in this. That's a feeling, but it's not a feeling of God's leading. Because God doesn't lead you against his own word. God leads you in conjunction with his word. He leads you in accordance with his word. It amazes me how some people say, well, this is what God wants. You say, well, let's just talk about it for a while. And you show them some verses that contradict what they said they're going to do, and they get upset. You say, well, how can you get upset? Because this is God's word, and you say this is what God wants you to do. You shouldn't be upset by what God says if this is what God wants you to do. If the two don't add up, there's something wrong. Something doesn't make sense. God's will for us will never contradict his word. Many times we want God to show us his plan, but we're ignoring his word. we say, oh yeah, I'd like to know the exciting stuff. I mean, give me the exciting stuff. I want to know what I'm going to be doing 10 years from now. I want to know what job I'm going to do. I don't know where. What. And God says, but I already told you that I want you to walk with me every day. I already told you that my word is there and they need to spend some time with me. Yeah, I know, but that's kind of boring, Lord. I want to know the exciting stuff. Well, we need to be committed to doing what God has already shown us to do if we're expecting Him to lead us in that which we want Him to show us for the details of our life. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Isn't that an interesting statement? The Lord will manifest himself to you if what? If you're doing his commandments. What does it mean that God will manifest himself to us? Well, yes, he will show himself real to us. So how is that? That means he'll show us his plan for our life. Is one aspect of that. He will show his plan to those who are obedient. We can't expect God to lead us in his will if we're unwilling to obey his word. So it needs to be a commitment to obey the word of God. And there needs to also be a commitment to ask for God's direction. A commitment to ask for God's direction. Look at what it says in verse 10. We read it already, that he took his servant, he went, he got to the city of Nahor. Verse 11 says, he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. And at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. And the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had she known any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. You see what happened in the story here when Abraham's servant got to where he knew. He was at the end of the line as far as where he knew to do at that point, wasn't he? God, or Abraham said to him, you need to go back to my kindred. He went back. Now he's there. He knows nobody, and he's there. Now how will I know who this is? How will I know who the right one is? So what did he do? When he got to where he knew he should be, he prayed and asked for God's direction. He prayed and asked God to show him the right person. You know, you don't need to ask God if you should read your Bible. You don't need to ask God if you should pray. You don't need to ask God if you should witness. You don't need to ask God if you should be in church. All those things and others, you don't need to ask God if you should give. All these things, they're in the Scripture. They are plain and simple. You know, Abraham didn't need to ask God to direct him until he was at the place, because he knew already he was doing the right thing. When he got to the place where he'd gone to the end of what he knew to do, then he said, okay, now I don't know what to do next. So now I need God to show me the details of how this is going to pan out and how it's going to work out. You see, you don't need to ask God about reading your Bible, praying, being in church, witnessing to people, loving people, forgiving people, all those things, because they're already clear. But you do, however, need to ask for his direction and sometimes his enabling to do those things. Abraham's servant took the task seriously, didn't he? I mean, he came to that place and he said, I need wisdom in this. You know, he didn't fluff it off and say, there's some women here. They're from the right area. I'll just go find one and give them enough dowry. I'm sure they'll come along. No, he took it very seriously. He took the situation and he said, I got to pray about this because this is a great responsibility. God has promised Abraham and his descendants great things. And if I bring the wrong woman back, this is going to be bad. I need God to direct me in this. You know, our prayer over God's will indicates we're taking it seriously. It indicates that we really want God to show us what He wants us to do. What He asks us to do is often daunting to us, but it's not beyond His ability. So we need to take it seriously and pray. He realized that he was also very humble. Abraham chose his servant very carefully for the task. So we'd say, if anyone should know who the right girl would be, this guy would know. But this guy said, man, this is a job. How am I going to do it? I need God's help. I need God's help. He'd done what he could do, and now he needed God to show him what he couldn't know. You know, it takes humility to ask directions. Isn't that the famous line, isn't it? Men don't ask for directions. We just get the scenic tour of where we're going, maybe sometimes, and you know, we'll get there. We'll find it. No, I'm not lost. Why, sometimes it's that pride thing that just keeps us from just, you know, pulling over and finding somebody. Yeah, now, you know, it's no problem. Just pull out your phone or get your GPS, and it'll show you where you're going. Unless it's wrong, of course. But it takes humility to ask directions even from God. So often we think, I can do it. I can figure it out. It's okay. I don't need to ask God about this. I got this. When we recognize that God has far greater knowledge than us, and that our knowledge is so small, I think we'll realize, like this servant, I need God. I need God to help me because I don't know what to do. Remember what it was at Jehoshaphat when the enemy army was coming against him, and they prayed and they said, Lord, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Humility. We don't know what to do. There's the king of a nation saying, I'm stumped. We're done. But God's got this. Humility. The servant had humility. He was very specific. Did you notice his prayer? Lord, let it be the girl who comes, and when I ask her for a drink, she says yes, and then she says, I'll give your camels drink also. I don't know about you, but I would think that 10 camels that have been walking for a couple of days are probably going to need some pretty heavy-duty drink. That was a pretty gracious offer, wasn't it, to offer to water 10 camels? She had no idea that she was fulfilling this very specific prayer request that Abraham's servant asked. But he wanted no doubt as to the right choice. I mean, God, you got to show me, and nobody else is going to offer to water 10 camels. So here's a good test. This will prove who the one is. You know, many times I'm persuaded that we have such vague prayers, we'd never know whether they were answered or not. Lord, bless us today. Well, He already does. His blessings are innumerable. Do you really want God to lead you? Do you really want God to guide you? Then you need to be specific in your prayer. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You realize that we've made that everything a compound word, and we've made it one word. But if you look at it on the verse, like it is in your Bible there, like it is on the screen, it says everything. And we stop and think about that for a minute. Everything, that means there's a whole bunch of things. Individual little things. Every one of them, commit them to God. That's detail. Say, well, I just need God to just give me some idea. No, you need God to direct in everything. Requests are specific, aren't they? Let your requests be made known unto God. In his teaching on prayer, Jesus used examples where requests were specific. The woman who went to the unjust judge every day, avenge me of my adversaries. It was very specific. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The man who went to his friend's house at midnight, I need bread. what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Very specific prayer requests. He says, ask, seek, and knock. That's specific. This servant was very specific in his prayer, and he asked, though, of course, in faith. See what happens? He hadn't even finished praying. He sees Rebecca. He runs, hightails it down to the well. Hightails it down there. Was this guy expecting an answer or not? Boy, was he expecting an answer. He didn't pray this and then say, well, I've done what I can do. I mean, it probably won't happen. Who's going to water 10 camels and who's going to give water to a stranger? No, as soon as he saw her, boom, he was there. Looking, expecting that perhaps this is the one that's going to be the answer to the prayer. And she was. Often our prayers lack power due to the lack of faith. We don't really expect an answer. But Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Believe? You mean we're supposed to pray and actually expect God's going to do something? Yeah, that's what prayer's about. James 1:6 says that we should ask in faith. Do we trust God to do as He promised? This man prayed with the expectation of an answer, and guess what? He got the answer. God answered his prayer of humility, his prayer of faith, and there was the answer. Specifically, no doubt in mind, which, is this the right girl? She fit the bill down to the very words spoken. Yes. God is true to His Word and will answer our prayers just as He said. He says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Specific prayers, specific answers. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. Matthew 7:7-8 tells us. If we're seeking God's leading, though, we got to be committed to pray. Humbly pray by faith, expecting an answer. We realize that this man was committed to praise as well. He wasn't just committed to pray, he was committed to praise. And we need to be committed to praise God if we would expect Him to direct in our lives and give us the leadership that we need in our day-to-day lives. Committed to obey, committed to do His will, committed to ask, but committed to praise God in the outcome. And that's what this servant here teaches us about. If you be led by God, you must be committed to glorify Him with the outcome. And God knows whether we are or not, doesn't He? Well, whether we will be committed to do that. See, praise God very personally. It says in verse 26, and we don't have time to read all the story this morning, but it says when she identified herself as to who she was, it says in verse 26, the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. What did he say? Lord, thank you. I asked you, and you showed me. Thank you. No show about it. This wasn't a big put on of display. This was a humble man before a mighty God saying, God, thanks. Thank you. Just a private prayer of appreciation to God to give God glory for what He'd done. Sadly, we're often quicker to ask for help than to show our thanks. But this man said, as soon as he saw the answer, I mean, they hadn't gone to the house yet. He saw the answer. He knew who she was. Thanks, Lord. Thank you. You led me. I did what I could do, and you led me the rest of the way. Take time to personally thank God when you see Him at work in your life. But he praised God publicly too. You know, the Bible says that they went to the house, and look at verse 28. The damsel ran and told them of his mother's house these things, and Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. We hear about Laban later on. No doubt he'll be coming up in a sermon soon. But it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hand, when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus the man spake unto me. He said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Verse 31, Wherefore standest thou without? The man came in, verse 32, ungirded his camels and so on. There was meat set before him. But he says, in the end of verse 33, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And as he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. Look at verse 35. The Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants, maid servants, camels, asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when he was old, and unto him hath he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this mine oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from mine oath. And verse 42 says, and I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if thou do prosper the way which I go, behold, I stand at the well. And it says, recounts the story there in verse 44. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth, and with her pitcher on her shoulder, and went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink. And so it says in verse 48, I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way, and to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. See all those times when he's talking about it? What does he say? God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. God brought me here. God showed me the woman. God brought me to this house. And I need you to know this. Before I eat, I'm not going to eat of your food, because eating together was a sign of a covenant and so on. I'm not going to eat of your food until we get this sorted out. You have to understand, this is what's happening, and God brought me here. He didn't say, when it came to this point, you know, he didn't privately say, well, thanks, Lord. And then publicly go, well, you know, I kind of figured she looked like the one. Yeah, you know, I used all my ingenuity, and I've known Abraham for a long time. I've known his son since he was born, and I just knew what kind of woman he needed, and I could see that she was the one. No. That's not what he said, is it? He said, God brought me here. God deserves the glory. God led me to this place. God directed my path. God showed me she was the one. He didn't claim his own ingenuity or his own ability. I wonder how often we say, oh God, please help me. Please show me what you want me to do. And God opens up a way. He opens up a door and he shows us what he wants. And then somebody says, wow, that's amazing. How did that happen? Well, you know, I kind of figured that this is what I should do. And I wonder how often we do that. When we really should say, I asked God and it's all him. And he did it. And I can't take any credit. How would I know? But God knew. You know, if we want God to lead us, do we not realize we need to be committed to praising Him personally and praising Him publicly to say, God did this? You know, it would have been a pretty hollow praise, the personal one, if He'd taken all the glory for it publicly, wouldn't it? You know, our praise to God needs to come from our heart and be expressed before others as well. To be genuine, it has to be in both places. It was just in one without the other. You know, some people want to sound really spiritual, and they want to wax real spiritual, and they say, well, you know, God led me in this, and God showed me this way, because I'm so spiritual. But we haven't praised Him personally, because we really didn't think of it being God leading us. We just wanted to make it sound spiritual. Both are so needed. Commit to praising God personally. Commit to praising God publicly if we expect Him to show us His way. The Bible tells us that whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. Be committed to praising God. And finally, be committed to fulfilling God's plan. You know, if we had time to read the rest of the chapter, it's awesome. I mean, he's described it there, recounted the story, and they listen in, they hear what's going on, and they ask Rebecca, are you willing to go with this man? And she says, yes, I'm willing to go. And he praises God again in verse 52, and so they get ready to go, and then they want to delay him. And that's just an Eastern custom. Just stay another night. So just stay another night. Just stay for a few days. Wait 10 days and then head on. But he says, no, I got to see this thing to the end. I got to see this thing to its fulfillment and to its conclusion. And boy, I bet he could hardly wait. I bet he rubbed his hands together. Oh, I can't wait to see what Isaac does when he sees Rebecca. Because, I mean, this is the girl that God's got for him. This will be exciting. And he couldn't wait to get back. He wasn't willing to waste time getting back in verses 50 to 60. And he delivered Rebekah to Isaac. What a beautiful story it is. It says in verse 61, Rebekah rose and her damsel and rode upon camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. There was a spiritual man. Went to spend some time with God in the evening. And what happens in that? He went out to spend some time with God, some time alone, probably wondering, I wonder where that servant is. I wonder if he found me a wife. I wonder what she'll be like. I wonder who God is going to bring into my life. It says, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful picture. But the servant said, this isn't done until this woman is married to the man who I came to find her for. He was committed to fulfilling the plan, God's plan and God's purpose. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, in John chapter 4 and verse 34. This morning, are you led by God? Do you desire to be led by God? You know, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, he's calling you to himself today for salvation. He wants to lead you to himself. And if you follow that path, it's one you'll never regret. Not for time and not for eternity. Christian, God desires to lead you and guide you in your life, but you must commit to follow his way. It's not a multiple choice answer. God, show me and then I'll decide. God, show me and I'll do it. Commit to obey his word. Lord, I'll follow your way, and along the way, I'm going to do all the things that you ask me to do in your word. It's commit to asking direction. God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. It's commitment to honoring him when he gives you the direction that you ask for, and it's commitment to fulfilling God's plan. God has a plan for your life. Are you led by God? Let's pray together.